Vayishma Yisro Kohen Midyan Chosein Moshe Eis Kol Asher Asa Elohim LeMoshe Ul Yisrael Amo Ki Hotzi Adonai Es Yisrael Mimitzrayim. Yitro, the minister of Midyan, the father-in-law of Moshe, heard everything that God did to Moshe and to Israel, his people, that Hashem had taken Israel out of Egypt.
OU Israel presents...
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky, and this show is for Parshat Yitro, or really Yitro, but when you talk in English, you say Yitro, or Yisro. Recording and first broadcast, Yom Chamishi, Thursday, the 18th day of Shavat, 5776, corresponding to January 28th. You heard the opening music. I think I've used it in the past also for this Parsha, and I'll leave you to remember or to figure out why. Let's do Tehillim Kuf Lamed, and then we'll get right into the Parsha. Shir hama'alot mima'amakim karaticha Adonai. Adonai shima v'koli, tihyena oznecha kashuvot l'kol tachanunai. Imavonot tishmor yoh Adonai mi'amod. Ki imacha hasalicha lema'an tivarei. Ki viti Adonai kivata nafshi velidvoro hochalti. Nafshi l'Adonai, mi shomerim laboker, shomerim laboker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai, ki im Adonai hachesed v'harbe imo fedut. Vehu yifde et Yisrael, mikol avonotav. Achenu kol beit Yisrael, hanatunim batzara uvashivya, haomedim ebein bayam uvein bayabasha, hamakom yirachem aleihem, viotziem mitzara lirvacha, umeafela leora, umishibud legeula, hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv, vinomar, amen. Okay, let me start with the name of the Seder. Let's go back into Bereshit. There's a run of a few Sedras. Vayetze, the pasuk is Vayetze Yaakov. Vayishlach Yaakov. Vayeshev Yaakov. Vayigash Elav Yehuda. Vayichi Yaakov. Now, to have called one of those sedras Yaakov might be a little confusing because there are many sedras that he's involved with, but the opening word is a candidate to be the name of a sedra, and in the case of the verbs, vayetze, vayishlach, vayeshev, vayigash, and vayechi, the sedras are all named after that initial word, which is a verb, and not a person associated with it. Now we come to vayishma Yitro, and Yitro heard. The Seder could have been called Vayishma. I don't think we would raise an eyebrow, because we already have the precedent of those Seders in Bereshit. But it's not referred to as Vayishma. It's named after Yitro. Yaakov does not have a Seder named after him, neither does Avraham or Yitzchak or Moshe. Way ahead, towards the end of Devarim, we have Vayelech Moshe. But no name to the Seder from the person. Yitro gets a name. There are explanations as to why. I hope that without my explaining it, you'll see a point in calling the Seder Yitro. Remember that the main theme of the Seder of Yitro is the experience at Sinai, arriving at the mountain and receiving the Torah therefrom. The Seder itself is on the small side, 72 psukim, 75 psukim, depending on how you count. And that's on the very small side relative to other Seders in the Torah. And the bulk of it deals with the Sinai experience. At the beginning of the Seder, we have Yitro, father-in-law of Moshe, coming with his daughter, Moshe's wife, Tzipora, and two children, Gershom and Eliezer, where Tzipora and her sons had been sheltered during the turmoil of the end of the slavery period in Mitzrayim in their grandfather's house, father's house, grandfather's house in Midian. And now Yitro brings them back to Moshe to reunite the family. And Yitro himself comes to join the Jewish people. Sort of. You'll see why I say sort of later. But he comes. And there's a nice welcome for him, and sacrifices are offered, and a meal is held, and everything is fine. And then the Torah tells us that on the following morning, Yitro went to see what his son-in-law does for a living, like any good father-in-law. And he sees that Moshe is beleaguered by lines and lines and lines of people waiting to ask questions, to have him adjudicate situations, to get advice, and all kind of things. And he says, Moshe, you're going to run yourself down. The people are going to get upset that they have to wait so long to see you. I have an idea, and I think you should do it. And that is to establish lower courts of individuals who will be in charge of 10 people and others who will be in charge of 5 of those groups, 50 people, and of hundreds and of thousands. And this way, the leaders of those units will be able to handle the easy cases, and the difficult ones that they don't know how to handle, they'll bring to you and everybody will be happy. And God sort of goes along with the idea and tells Moshe to do it. And from there comes the system of dividing the country and the people and the way that arguments are settled and cases are heard. And then we arrive from Rephidim to Midbar Sinai, and then to the foot of the mountain. Now, if you were to pull out the first part of Parshat Yitro from the Torah, look at the sequence that you would have. Starting last week or even earlier, we had the 10 plagues, the exodus from Egypt, the experience of that first Pesach before we left, and then the encounter on the sea and the splitting of the sea. And then at the end of Beshalach, you have the water that we couldn't drink that was sweetened and no water and hitting a rock. And the mun, the heavenly food that miraculously fed the people. And then the attack of Amalek in Rephidim. Next is our travel from Rephidim to Har Sinai to receive the Torah. The 10 plagues, the exodus, the splitting of the sea, the miracles of food and drink, and the Sinai experience are all sort of on a high sanctity, lofty, spiritual level. Before we get to Revelation at Sinai, we have what seems to be a mundane story. Father-in-law Yitro comes to Moshe, leader of the people, and says, "Hate to bother you, but here's your wife and your sons. And I also heard these great things that God did for the people." And he comes to join. And our sources tell us that he was searching for a long time for a belief that he could live with. And he went through all the known religions and came to Judaism. But still, very nice. What is this story doing between the splitting of the sea and the events of Rephidim and Sinai? Especially if it is highly doubtful that this occurred chronologically in that sequence. Even if you want to say that he came when he heard about the splitting of the sea and the fighting against Amalek and the victory, and this is the place where he came, we still have a portion of that chapter that is definitely not when it happened. And that was his seeing how Moshe handled the people and his making suggestions and the suggestions being implemented. All of that was later. Why is it here? I can offer two reasons, each of which I think stands on its own as a respectable answer and reason. First of all, Yitro was a single human being who searched for God, who found the God of Israel, and made a commitment to a belief system which, right after the Torah tells us about him, the Torah tells us about the entire population of Israel. When the Torah tells us that we traveled, plural, from Rephidim and we came to Sinai, plural, 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 Vayichan Shem Yisrael Neged Ahar, and he, Israel, singular, camped opposite the mountain, the commentaries all explain that we were unified ke'ish echad belev echad, like one person with one heart. But there's an interesting comparison here. Yitro is one person with one heart. All 2 to 3 million Jews, Hebrews, Israelites, call them what you will, were unified like one person with one heart. If you are part of a multitude, a large number of people, even if there is complete unity within that group, you get lost as an individual and become a part of the group. So the story of Yitro preceding the experience at Sinai teaches us that even though all of Bnei Yisrael acted as one person with one heart, it was made up of millions of Jews who each was one person with one heart. We have a lot of things in the normal course of the halachic behavior that highlight our individuality as well as our membership in the people of Israel. It is not a good goal to be unified to the point where everyone gets homogenized and loses his own identity. What we need to do is maintain our uniqueness, our individuality, and be a willing member of the entire Jewish people. This is illustrated in the davening in shul of Shacharit Musaf Mincha, Ne'ilah, not Ma'ariv for technical reasons, where when it's time to say the Amidah, the 19 blessings to God, that start with blessings of praise and end with blessings of thanks, and in the middle are filled with 13 petitions to God on Shabbat and Yom Tov differently, we first take 3 steps forward and recite the Amidah silently between ourselves and God. We could be in a shul with a couple of hundred other people, and those 3 steps forward put you in a one-on-one situation with God. When you finish your prayer, you take your 3 steps back, and in that act, you join everyone else in shul, and you become a tzibur, a kehilah, a kahal. You become a congregation. And the representative of the congregation, who has recently finished his own personal, private, individual Amidah, is selected by the congregation to represent them, to repeat the entire Amidah out loud. We, meaning everybody else in the shul, have an obligation to answer Amen to each of his brachot. We join him in his call to sanctify God's name with Kadosh, 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 which can only be done in a minyan. And we become a whole that is greater than the sum of its parts. Even though mathematics says the whole is equal to the sum of its parts, in spiritual Judaism, I don't know if I want to call it that, let's call it Judaism, Torah Judaism, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. But think about this for a moment. If the parts that comprise the whole are diminished by joining together, then there's no big deal in saying the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. But if each part retains its individuality, then you could truly say that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And that's the story of Jewish life, and there are other illustrations as well. But to me, the repetition of the Amidah by the Chazan, known as the Shaliach Tzibur, the representative of the community, illustrate this idea. So here we have the Sinai experience in which we each are lost in the group of people who together proclaim everything that God says we will do. And where is the individual? The individual model is Yitro, which the Torah places, whom the Torah places. Before the account of Ma'amad Har Sinai, the Sinai experience, the receiving of the Torah, the giving of the Torah, in order to make the point of saying, do not lose your individuality. You each have a brain and a heart and a soul. Use them well. I said I could make case for another answer, and that is that lofty, 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 miracle, 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 lofty Har Sinai, we need to be pulled back to earth. And even before the Torah gives us the account of revelation at Sinai, it gives us a little preview of everyday mundane Jewish life. Imagine the emotional conflict of witnessing the plagues in Egypt and experiencing the Exodus and crossing the sea on a dry seabed, only to look back and see the Egyptians being drowned and singing the song, which was a present as well as a future song of redemption, and seeing the miracle of bitter water turning to sweet water, and no water, but water coming from a rock on a hit by the special staff, and wondering what about food and the mun coming every single day, but not on Shabbat, and double portion on Friday. Miracle, miracle, miracle. Then we're attacked by Amalek, and we prevailed. And then we're on our way to Har Sinai. How do we cope with everyday run-of-the-mill experience in life? Yitro shows us that also. We will have a full dose of it next week in Parshat Mishpatim, but we get a very, very substantial preview of Yitro seeing what's going on the ground and giving advice to Moshe, because that is Torah life. It's not just the day of revelation at Sinai. It's the tomorrow and the tomorrow after that and the tomorrow after that. And this is hinted at when the Torah says, God says to Moshe, sanctify yourselves today and tomorrow, because tomorrow is the crucial test. If it works today, no big deal, because look at what you're experiencing. If it works tomorrow, you've got something. We'll be right back with more Torah Tibbetz audio for Parshat Yitro. You are listening to Torah Tidbits Audio for Parshat Yitro. The music of the first part and the music of the second part are very different. Two different TV shows, decades apart. And what else can we say about them? Theme apart. But they have a common denominator, and that ties them to this week's Sedra. So that's more than enough hint. So let's move on. There's an old question, a well-known question, on the opening statement of the Ten Commandments, the Aseret HaDibrot. Before I get into that, I want to make something clear. Ten Commandments, aside being the famous movie by Cecil B. DeMille in the mid-50s, I think, is the term that is used for what is also known as the Decalogue. The Torah calls it Aseret HaDivarim, the 10 things or the 10 statements. Aseret HaDibrot is a variation of Aseret HaDivarim. Commandment, which is usually our translation for the word mitzvah, does not make a good rendering for what we're talking about, because the Aseret HaDibrot, the Ten Commandments, contain 14 or 15, I'll explain that in a moment, mitzvot. Actually, I'll explain it right now. There are 14 mitzvot out of 613 that are counted by the Rambam and Sefer HaChinuch in Parshat Yitro in the portion called the Aseret HaDibrot. There's a 15th mitzvah that is counted in the second version of the Aseret HaDibrot in Parshat Vo'etchanan. And we will talk about that later in a different context. But let's get to the Aseret HaDibrot. The first commandment, if you want to use that term, is Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeiticha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Mi Beit Avadim. These, in essence, are the very first words and among the very few words that God spoke to the Jewish people directly. Before then, he communicated with individuals, mostly Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And subsequently, he communicates, and Moshe, of course, and subsequently, he communicates with all of us via Nevi'im, prophets, which is a direct result of what happened in this week's Sedra, where after God started to speak to the people withdrew, and they panicked, and they said, "We don't want to die. It is too awesome, terrifying to hear God's voice," whatever that means, because God does not have a voice as people do. And therefore, God made a deal, and this is referred to in the Torah elsewhere, that if the people commit themselves to listening to his commands through a prophet, a true prophet, then he will acquiesce to our request not to hear his voice anymore. So in total, the direct communication between God and the Jewish people was limited either to the Aseret HaDibrot or, according to other opinions, to the first two commands, both Anochi Hashem Elokecha and Lo Yelecha Elohim Achirim Al Ponai, there shall not be any other gods before me. And as evidence to that opinion is the fact that in the first two, God is talking Anochi, I, Hashem Elokecha, your, and Lo Yelecha Elohim Achirim Al Ponai, shall be not no other gods before me. And then it switches to referring to God in the third person. One way or the other, the first words that the people of Israel heard from God are, "I am God." At that point goes the famous question. He could have said, maybe should have said, who created the world? And who was master of the world? Instead, he chose to introduce himself as Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeiticha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Mi'Beit Avadim. I am the God who took you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. If you remember a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned that the very first prophecy at the burning bush, and then the prophecy to Moshe to speak to the people, was included not only taking them out of Egypt, but V'lokachti etchem li la'am, God says, "I will take you unto me as a nation. V'ayiti lochem le'lokim, and I will be your God. V'datem, and you will know that it is I who took you out of Egypt." Sure enough, the first words we hear from him at Sinai are, "Anochi Hashem Elokecha, who took you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." But the question still remains, would it not have been a more powerful statement to say, "I am the God who created the entire world and everything in it"? Part of the answer, and a very important part of the answer, is God was speaking to the Jewish people. He was not speaking to the nations of the world. They might have been bystanders, but they were not the target and the object of God's command. Now let's look at that a little bit more closely. First of all, what the world did is take the Torah to themselves from the Jewish people by forcing Torah scholars to translate the Torah into Greek, and from there into all the languages of the world. By force, the written word without the oral law, and they took it to themselves. The fact of the matter is, unless they edit out Asher Hotzeiticha me'eretz Mitzrayim mi'beit avadim, they are in possession of a document which documents God's revelation to the Jewish people at Har Sinai. True, the world has taken the Ten Commandments and the Old Testament, and many religions supposedly follow it, but the Aseret HaDibrot and the Torah that comes with it were primarily given to the Jewish people. How do I know? Because it does not say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Barati Et HaOlam. If it said, I am the God who created the world, it would belong to every person in the world and every nation. But it doesn't say that. And this school of thought attributes to God the specific conscious decision, so to speak, to make this personal to the Jewish people. Now let's take a closer look. Of the Aseret HaDibrot, how many reflect the seven Noahide laws? The seven Noahide laws are our understanding of what God expects all people to do. To be decent human beings, not to worship idols, but to believe in Him, not to blaspheme, not to murder, commit adultery or incest, theft, Eiver min hachai, limb from a living animal, and dinim, setting up courts of law. If we look at the bulk of the Aseret HaDibrot and the bulk of Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach, you have significant overlapping, or not the best word, and certainly not the other word that I was going to use. Let's leave it without a good word, and you'll sort of get the idea from the way I'm saying it. Belief in God and no other gods before me, and not worshiping them and bowing to them and sacrificing to them, are in the Aseret HaDibrot for us, the Jewish people, and they are part of Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach, the seven Noahide laws. Not to take the name of God in vain, you could say, is part of blasphemy. But if you look at our understanding of that third commandment, it is the prohibition of false and vain oaths. And that, too, according to our teachings, is obligatory upon all peoples of the world, even though it is not actually in the list of the seven Noahide laws. It is considered another obligation of the nations of the world. Skip the fourth commandment on purpose and go to the fifth, Kabed et avicha ve et imecha. Honor of parents is part of the Torah. It is part of the 613 mitzvot to the Jewish people. But it also is considered obligatory upon all people of the world to honor and respect their parents. Then you have, thou shalt not murder and commit adultery and steal, right, corresponding to the counterparts in the Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach. Not to bear false witness has a relationship with murder and adultery and stealing, all potential results of false testifying, which would make it part of Sheva Mitzvot B'nai Noach as well. And you could also say that it's part of the dinim, where they have to establish courts of law and systems, and that's testimony. Thou shalt not covet is there in the Ten Commandments, because of what it often leads to, and those are sins of the above type. So that also belongs to the nations of the world. The one item I purposely bypassed was Shabbat, because we have a very different approach to Shabbat vis-a-vis the non-Jews of the world. And notwithstanding the fact that God personalized the Aseret HaDibrot and all of Torah for the Jewish people by the statement of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, we also see, albeit elsewhere in the Torah, that Shabbat is Beini Uvein Bnei Yisrael Ot Hi La'olam. That Shabbat is a sign of the eternal covenant between God and the people of Israel. But now, let's go back in the Torah to the beginning. We're almost the beginning, at the end of the account of creation. We have our first introduction to Shabbat, Vayechulu Hashamayim Va'aretz V'chol Tzva'am, and God sanctifies the seventh day because he rested from his creation on the seventh day, and that seems to be universal. All people in the world were part of creation. So if Shabbat is a reminder of the creation of the world, and in the passage which we use to introduce Kiddush every Friday night, and we say in the davening twice, or sometimes only once, the flavor of it so far is universal, not specifically the Jewish people. Then we take a look at commandment number 4. Zachor et Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho. Remember the Sabbath day and make it holy. Sheshet Yamim Ta'avod V'yasita Kol Melachtecha. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work. And on the seventh day it is Shabbat to God. Lo ta'aseh chol melacha, do not do any manner of melacha, you, your children, your servants, your animals, and the stranger in your midst. Why? Ki sheshet yamim asa Hashem et ha-shamayim ve'et ha-aretz, et hayom ve'et kol asher bam, vayonach bayom ha-shvi'i. Because in 6 days, God made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and everything in it, and rested on the seventh. Al Kain, therefore, Beirach Hashem et Yom HaShabbat Vayikadshehu. He rested on the seventh and sanctified us. He blessed the seventh, the Shabbat day, and sanctified it. That seems to be universal. Now you have to go back for a moment to the aftermath of the flood, when God says to Noah, the small remnant of the entire population of the world who survived the flood in the ark. And he says, God says, that from this point on, day and night and the flow of time and years, Lo Yishbotu will not rest. It will continue on its way. From there, we learn that it is a serious offense in our eyes for non-Jews to accept upon themselves the Shabbat. It became for Israel, after the initial idea, we could say, was that all people in the world should keep it. But the events of the flood, or that led up to the flood, sort of changed God's mind, so to speak, and it became a command to us. But we don't see it yet until we take a look in Parshat Vo'etchanan, in the book of Devarim, Deuteronomy, and we see the different formulation of the fourth commandment. Not Zachor, but Shamor et Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho, kasher tzivcha Hashem Elokecha. Safeguard the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as Hashem your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work. And on the seventh day it is Shabbat, very similar. Lo taseh chol malacha, do not do any manner of malacha, you, your children, your servants, your animals, and the stranger in your midst. Lama'an yanuach avdecha v'amatcha kamocha, so that all will rest equally. V'zacharta, and you shall remember thereby, ki eved hayita be'eretz Mitzrayim, that you were slaves in the land of Egypt, v'yotziacha Hashem Elokecha misham, and God took you out of there, biyad chazaka uvizroa netuya, with a mighty arm and with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Al kain, therefore, tzivcha Hashem Elokecha la'asot et yom ha-shabbat. Slightly different wording, significantly different wording. Therefore, God has commanded you, the Jewish people, to make Shabbat, to keep Shabbat, and to make Shabbat, which is different from saying, I, God, rested on the seventh, and I sanctified the day, and you have rules and regulations to follow as a result. We are intimately involved in the process of Shabbat. The first introduction to Shabbat, after the event of creation that I read to, or that I referred to before, is the Parsha of the Mon, the manna from heaven, in last week's Sedra, where this was, again, a specific B'nai Israel, Israelite, Hebrew, Jewish experience of the Mon falling for 6 days and not on the seventh day, and Friday a double portion falling, and being used to prepare for the next day, which became a hallmark of Shabbat. Shabbat is not a day of doing work. It's a day that is pampered and prepared for on Erev Shabbat and before. So the Shabbat, bottom line, stands out in the Aseret HaDibrot as being that which is specifically for the Jewish people. Goy sheshavat chayav mita. Not going to translate that, not going to explain it now, but the Shabbat is different, even though its origin and the first presentation at Sinai carry a universal flavor. We have to see this as Shamor v'zachor b'dibur echad, in some divine, miraculous way, the concept of Shabbat being commemorative of creation and Shabbat being commemorative of the Exodus are blended together in a divine single presentation, and we have no choice but to look at them separately. But that's why in Kiddush we say both, that this is Zecher L'Maseh V'Reishit, commemorative of the acts of creation, and Zecher L'Yitziat Mitzrayim. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. There are other religions that have a day of rest, and I'm not taking that away from any peoples of the world. It's a productive thing, a healthy thing, a good thing. I'm talking about the Shabbat in its totality. Shabbat might be called a day of rest, but Shabbat has very specific restrictions which are part of Jewish law, and the peoples of the world are not expected to refrain from those things. A day of rest has a meaning in a universal way, and a day of rest, Shabbat, has a specific meaning in a Torah Jewish context. One of the Torah Tzibitz Audio listeners recently wrote to me that he appreciated the Radio Mystery Theater introduction that I personally like. So I have attached a small piece of the ending by E.G. Marshall and to the old Radio Mystery Theater, which I've been listening to lately, by the way, and I still enjoy. On that note, I will say Shabbat Shalom, Lehish Tameah.
Until next time, pleasant dreams.